Cross this morning, let's stand and sing about that. We sing at the cross. Praise Him. He'd take care of her. He'd do, if the Lord had to put the angels on vibrations, he'd do for them. Now, after a few years, he'd jump out of the car out here in the lot, spring up an umbrella, pour down the rain, and come charging toward the church and look over his shoulder and say, "Hurry, honey, you're going to bed." Honeymoon is over. I had one fellow, his wife came to me and she said, "Preacher, I can't even remember when my husband told me he loved me. I can't remember the last time he told me." I called him into my office and sat down. We started a just a normal conversation, and I said, "Well, there's no need to be any around the bush. I'm going to just get to the point. Reason I've called you in, your wife has confided in me that she can't even remember the last time that you said, 'Honey, I love you.'" He looked at me as solemn as any man could look at a man, and he said, "I told her the day we got married that I loved her, and she'd be the first one to know if I changed my mind." So he still hadn't changed his mind, but isn't it nice once in a while when I get a little sluggish? Someone asked me, "Since your wife retired, does she have a honey-do list?" No, she doesn't. She has a book. She's still writing in chapter 9. I'm still working in chapter 1. Once in a while, I get a little sluggish. Any of you men know what I'm talking about? You just tired, you know. It's come to the point when I get up in the morning, she says, "I tell you what I'm going to let you do today." How nice. But when I get a little sluggish of her letting me do these little things, she'll come alongside. And she just stole my heart in the second. She was playing on a sand pile at her mom and dad's store. And I looked at her and I thought she was the prettiest thing I'd ever seen. And I still do today, after 51 years of marriage, I still do.
Amen.
And she just stole my heart. I sat there and I hung out the window and on my shelf on the mirror brace on the pickup truck and tried to get her to notice me. And I climbed in and out of the window on top of the truck and cut all kinds of shine getting her to notice me to little and no avail. But right now, if she wants me to change gears, all she has to do, after 51, almost 51, it'll be in October, 50 years, going on 51 years of marriage, all she has to do is look at me with those big brown eyes and kind of real romantically say, you know, honey, I love you. I'm ready to finish today.
Amen.
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 You know what the Bible teaches about the church at Ephesus in Revelation? He brightened the church a bit, and then he said, but one problem you have. You have left your first love. Now, the best way in my own country way of doing things that I can explain that is the honeymoon is over. That's a sad time in the life of a Christian and the life of the church when the honeymoon is over. Thanks be unto God, Hebrews chapter 6, you don't have to turn there right now, verses 17, 18, all in that area. He uses a big 50-cent word, the immutability of God. He's immutable, which means that he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and will be forever. His love never wavers. I wish mine never wavered. But he made such a beautiful word that I'm easily distracted. I mean, it's not hard at all. Had you seen me yesterday with the Sunday school place down at Farmer's Daughter, it wouldn't be hard at all for me to make an idol out of food. I wore two young waitresses out carrying food. They say eat all you want. They didn't know they had a Baptist preacher and a bus driver. There's nothing in this world that compares to being in love with the Lord Jesus. Nothing.
Amen.
It passes all understanding.
Amen.
Acts chapter 2. If you have turned there and you're able to stand, I understand. Many of you have physical problems, and that's fine. But those of you that are able to stand in reverence for the reading of the Word, would you stand? We'll read Acts 2, beginning verse 15. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Master, thank you for this day. Lord, stir our hearts. Stir the slumbering chords that we sing about often. That, Lord, we could be as much in love with Jesus today as we were the hour that we were saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Comes a time that they were set celebrating Pentecost. And, pardon me, the Feast of the First Fruits. And as they were celebrating, remember he had told the apostles, tarry there in Jerusalem. Wait. There's a great sermon upon waiting on the Lord. Sometimes we Baptists run ahead of us. Amen. We get tired. We're not patient people as a rule. And we get tired of waiting and we run ahead. Many times we fall in a pit that had we waited, he would have guided us around. So, be careful. Wait upon the Lord. Make sure it's of the Lord. I think both the Lord and the devil get a lot of bad publicity. I've seen people just fall flat on their face spiritually. And they've told me confidently, preacher, the Lord led me to do this. Well, I've got news for you. I've read the book. Where God guides, he always provides.
Amen.
Now, oftentimes when we launch out on our own and we fail, we say, well, God must have failed. I didn't. No, we didn't wait on the Lord. We wasn't patient. We decided we had a good idea. Now, I'm including myself. We. You hear that? Collective pronoun. We. I've launched out and I've just thought, man, this has to be the best thing that's come along, and I've tried it and it's failed miserably. And I've had to confess to the church and to the deacons and the staff and the leaders. Shouldn't have never gone that direction. I got a little bit ahead of the Lord. We're human. Well, he told them to tarry there. And there's a misconception. You're close there in chapter 2 of Acts. Turn back to John chapter 20. There's a misconception. Some believe that this is where the apostles received the Holy Ghost. Now I want to remove the cobweb from your mind. Look in chapter 20 of the Gospel according to John. Let your eyes come down to verse 22. Listen, let's get 21. Jesus is speaking to his apostles. And he says to them, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had thus said, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, does the Lord Jesus say things and that not happen? No. When he told the lame to walk, they walked. When he said to the blind for them to see, they were able to see. Whenever the Lord did something, it was done rightly. And so you can rest assured, days before Pentecost, Jesus said to his apostles, to his disciples, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," and they did. Now, if you're going to read this rightly, you've got to go back and this chapter 2, and verse 4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, before you go off on a tangent, read verse 6. It goes with it. "Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." There was people gathered there from all over the world, and the Lord gave them an unnatural blessing until they could speak in other languages. It wasn't an unknown tongue. Somebody was understanding every one of them as they spoke.
Amen.
Amen. And so as we look at this, it says, "And they were filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, they had received, back in chapter 20 of John, they had received the Spirit. As they were, remember, just a few days before this, the apostles wasn't sure whether this ministry was going to go on. And Peter had said, "I'm going fishing." And the rest of them said, "We'll just go with you." Now, he wasn't talking about going fishing like I go fishing. I go fishing primarily to relax. Get away from it all once in a while. Jesus told his apostles, "Unless you come apart and rest, you'll come apart." There has to be a balance there. There comes a time that you must come away. I spend a lot of time doing things that relaxes and helps take my mind off of so many problems. The world's full of problems. And if you're a pastor, you're not just carrying your own, you're carrying a whole congregation of people's problems with you. Come apart and rest. Well, Peter wasn't going for a rest. Peter said, "I go a fishing." He was called from the seashore as a professional fisherman. What he was declaring, it looks like, it seems to me, that this thing, see, what waiting on the Lord. He got ahead of himself a little bit. And he said to the rest of them, "I'm going fishing. I'm going to return to my vocation." Looks like this thing of ministry with Jesus dying, resurrecting, and just appearing to us occasionally is over. I'm going back to my old job. "I'm going fishing." They said, "Well, we'll just go with you." Off they went. You know the rest of that story. Jesus cooked breakfast that morning, spoke to them as they were out on the water. Have you caught anything? The second time he'd done this, and Peter and John closed, and John said, you know who that is over on the shore. That's the master. Peter grabbed his clothes that he had shed during the night, fishing and working, and jumped overboard and swam ashore. Isn't it refreshing to see a big man go overboard for Jesus? Amen.
Amen.
It's all right to go overboard for you people. Carry our little flags, wear orange, and big team. It's all right to do that, but goodness gracious, don't get fanatical about Jesus. People will talk about you. Well, Peter was headed back to his job. Jesus met him there and said, strange thing that he asked him. He took Peter away from the breakfast and went for a little walk, and he said, Peter, got a question. Lovest thou me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, well, feed my lambs. Good message there. You'll never have a herd of sheep if you don't have lambs. You hear that, church?
Amen.
Without lambs, you'll have no herd of sheep. Because people get hungry and sheep get old, and they'll thin out the herd. He said, lovest thou me, Peter? Second time. And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, well, feed my sheep. And they went a little further, and he said to him a third time. And it hit home. I think it really hit home with Peter. Peter, lovest thou me? Now remember, he had told him prior to the occasion. Now Peter said, Lord, the rest of them will give up on you. The rest of them will desert you, but not me. I'll go with you even unto death. And he said, Peter, before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times. I know more about you than you know about yourself. We need to understand that this morning. God knows more about you than you know about yourself.
Amen.
Amen. He knows your bending point. He knows your breaking point. I'll never let more be put on you than you can withstand.
Amen.
Sometimes we think we're going to break. We just bend pretty bad. Amen.
Amen.
Just be patient. He said, I won't let you break. I know where your breaking point's at. And the third time he said to him, Peter, lovest thou me? It hit him. Oh. He's making reference to my denying him out there in the courtyard. I told him I'd go with him to death, and I folded up just like he said I would. And the last time he answered him differently. Remember what he said? Lord, you know all things. He's reminded that he knew before the fact what Peter was going to do. You know all things. So knowing how you know that I love you. And he said, Caesar, feed my sheep. He assigned him a job. Now, this text where they have been hiding out behind closed doors, doing what the master told them, to wait. And the Holy Spirit of God comes down and doesn't just, they don't just receive the Spirit, they've already received the Spirit, but the Spirit of God fills them up. There's a difference. There's time that I've just got enough of Jesus to get me through the day. And there's time my cup runs over.
Amen.
You've been there? I mean, there's a difference. My cup runs over. Well, as their cup runneth over, they begin to go out. They launched out into the community and begin to speak boldly in other languages. And what they were telling was about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and faith in Him alone would get them to heaven. And boy, as they preached this message, they were so adamant about what they were doing that those people around them began to surmise, they drew a conclusion, they must have been Baptists. For I know a lot of Baptists, the only work they do for the Lord is jump to conclusions. They formed a conclusion. These men are drunk. And boy, Peter stood up and said, No, these men are not drunk. This that you're seeing is that which Joel spoke of in the Old Testament. And he quoted from Joel. This is that. Now, my question to you this morning, are we still serving the same Lord that Peter and James and John, Matthew, are we still serving the same Lord that they serve?
Amen.
Is the sweet Holy Spirit that filled them that they received in John 20 and filled them in Acts chapter 2, is He, the Holy Spirit of God, still the same Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Well, of course. And He's immutable. He never changes. And so my question comes to this. From this moment on, when Peter declared to those people, this that you're seeing is that which was spoken of by Joel. Oh, if this that we're doing at Boone's Creek Baptist Church is that which Joel was speaking of, was the Spirit of God was going to move upon us and fill us and empower us, then as I look at these apostles, listen, they never again hid out in an upper room. They never again feared for their lives. Matter of factly, nearly every one of them put their lives on the line so generously that most of them were martyred for Jesus' sake. So, my question is this morning. Three of them, real quickly, we'll close. If this that we're doing at Boone's Creek is that which was spoken of by the Old Testament prophet Joel, where's the passion in what we're doing? Where's the passion in what we're doing? Have you come to understand as of yet that I love to preach? Not down. I'm not preaching down to you. Never feel like I'm preaching down to you. I love to get along with God and read His Word and pray and prepare and hear from God that I might come over to the pulpit here at Oak Street, First Baptist, Thomas Village, Beck Mountain, Unicorn, wherever God has taken me, and deliver God's message to God's people.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I've sat under some of the best preaching, Dr. Adrian Rogers, Dr. Charles Stanley, Dr. Vance Havner. I've sat under some of the best preachers in the world. And while they're preaching, while they're up there delivering a message, John David, I'm sitting back there thinking, just turn me loose. I want to say something to this group. Because when he saved and when he called me to do a work, I've loved every minute.
Amen.
I've got a love for the Lord Jesus until turn me loose. People used to know exactly what I drove, and they wouldn't come in the post office in Rome. That small town, small post office, and if they come to get their mail, my car, they'd go on because they knew I was inside, and I'd have an audience of two or three, and I'd be preaching one of my better messages. Hospital the other day, I went to see two. Was in sick care before left. Was due here at the deacon's meeting, and I had to just come sliding in for the deacon's meeting. Because in each room, I went in and I had a message to share. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much he went to the cross. Where's the passion? You look at someone cross-eyed. I can't do it very long at a time. Now, don't look at them cross-eyed. They'll quit singing on you. Amen. Let me tell you something. I liked him. But if I didn't like him, I'd still say, sing for the glory of God.
Amen.
You're not singing for him. You're worshiping the Master.
Amen.
Love to sing. Stand and just let the world know you love the Master that these songs are written about. I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed. Your Sunday school class, how easy is it for us to get discouraged? I've had enough hard things said to me. Just before entering the pulpit, a man came to me one Sunday morning at Sinking Creek Baptist Church. I've known him all my life. He came to me and he said, did I see your dad pass out there in the highway falling on his car? I said, probably did. He's not pastoring anywhere right now. Well, why didn't he come in and hear you? He knew you were going to preach in Reese's absence this morning. Why didn't he come in and hear you? And I said, well, just to be quite honest, he probably don't want to hear. And this man looked at me, and he headed to the pulpit for him to try to deliver God's message. And he looked at me, and he said, I don't blame him. I don't like to hear you. Do you suppose in your wildest dream it was easy to preach that Sunday morning? But I just said, Lord, you didn't give up on me. I'll not give up on you. And to show you that it was the devil using that individual, years later, his dear wife passed away. And he called me and said, Brother Gary, you come to him and watch him. Hope you don't let anybody do your life soon, but you don't have a little bit of respect for that. Amen. Mm-hmm. The devil just used him that morning. Probably he never knew. He's gone home to be in heaven now. He probably never knew how that sounded and how that felt to me when I preached on it. And that's only one. I wish I had time to tell all the illustrations about how I've been discouraged. But I love the Lord. I'm not preaching for you. You fire me tomorrow, that's all right. I won't be mad at you. But I'll be preaching somewhere next Sunday.
Amen.
If it has to be the jail, that's it. My preaching started over at Carter County Jail. Made one of the biggest blunders of a Baptist pastor's experience. I walked into the Carter County Jail and standing in a cell block, and I said, I'm so glad you're here this morning. trying to sound preacher, you know, because her eyes got big. Wasn't really the right address for that group. Second, first of all, where's the patience? Second of all, where's the power? This was out of the ordinary for these men to stand like they were standing. They had been hiding out and trembling every time knocking at the door. And they stood boldly with a loud voice and proclaimed, "These men are not drunk as you suppose." Wow. The power. And for the rest of their lives, they stood in the face of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the enemies of the cross and declared boldly that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, knowing their lives to be such that. Where's the power today? John 1:12 says, "To as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to those that believed on his name." You know what the sons of God are? Christians. He gives Christians power. You know what that word power in the Greek? Dynamite. He gives us dynamite power. Explosive power to do his work if we'll trust him. Where's the passion? Where's the power? Last of all, where's the proof? If you still have your Bible open there, look in verse 41 of the same chapter 2. "Then they that gladly received his word," talking about Peter and the other apostles, they're out there preaching. "They that gladly received his word were baptized the same day that were added about 3,000 souls." Where's the proof in what we're doing today? Has God changed?
No.
Not at all. We ought to constantly have water in this baptistry. And week to week. Now I'm saying we, me included. We ought to be winning more by accident than what we're seeing won. Just by accident. Run into somebody down here at the crossroad, you bend his fender up, and you get out, and you don't cuss, and you don't kick, and you don't brake, and you don't have a road brake, and you get out and apologize and say, "Man, I was just preoccupied just thinking about that." I want to tell you about monkeys. Oh, people, listen. He stood right here in this pulpit. Any of you remember Basil Jones preaching in this pulpit? Basil Jones, dear friend of mine. 9-year-old son. I used to ride him around on my horse. His 9-year-old son, Tim. He and his buddy were playing in the cornfield down the tall road. Two fellas 200 yards away, 2-foot-tall fields away. And Tim's hair was as red as a fire engine. And he was laying where the mole board of a plow turns the lace fur over. He's laying in a cornfield with his head on that hump. He and his buddy had run and played till they got tired. These two fellas 200 yards away, hunting ground calls, seeing something move. And they laid that rifle up, shot him right in the head with a high-powered rifle, blew the most part of his head. The other kid runs and gets Basil. Basil runs through the cornfield and gets there about the same time as two brothers do. Most daddies would have been in a rage hang on, yeah, 10:00, yeah. Look at them two fellas, said fellas, the Lord give, the Lord take the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he sat there and shared Jesus Christ with the man who killed his son. And before the rescue squad, or the deputies ever got there, that young man got down on his knees and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus. I went to the funeral service, and that boy was standing arm in arm with that. It was more like a revival than it was a funeral. People shouting, people praising the Lord all over that auditorium. Folks, that's the way we live in this world that we're living in. He could have touched that boy for 2 hours, and it wouldn't have brought one breath of life back to him because that he let the Lord Jesus have the free entrance of his life. And he ended up baptizing several people. Those are just some of them. Oh, we're really in love with Jesus. Was there ever a time you were more in love with Jesus than you are this morning? Was there ever a time you were more excited about the message? I can remember taking my dear young bride. And I just wanted the whole room. I just wanted everybody. I met strangers, not stopping me. This month, I just married this girl 3 days ago. Ain't she pretty? And she didn't like that. She didn't like that. But I was so proud. I had to tell the world when I got saved. I can remember in Vietnam getting up out of a cool blur. And the first thoughts I had about telling my friend about Jesus, he just said, I was so in love with him. Has there ever been a time you were more in love with Jesus than you are right now? If so, that's time. That's time to just have an old-fashioned rededication of your life to Christ. If you're here and you've never had a life-changing experience, what a wonderful time it is to be saved. We're just about ready for the rapture. We're about ready for Jesus to come. And if we're ever going to do anything for Christ, it's got to be right then. I don't know what you're waiting for. Heads are down. Is the honeymoon over? If it is, repent. Turn back to him. He's never moved. It was us who moved. Master, right now in the quietness of this moment, as he, the sweet, dear, Holy Spirit of God, touches hearts all over this auditorium. Lord, whether anyone else goes or not, I will go. Whether anyone else stands and says, I love you, I'll stand. It has to be all of us. Lord, help us today to just love what Jesus has called us to do in the work of the church. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do this morning in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand as we sing? Would you come? Who wants to be first?
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess Him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on the website, WindsCreekBaptist.org. And don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.